You for that? Can everyone hear me? Okay. So thanks to John and Chris for the invite. It's been a while since I've been invited to a poetry reading. I get asked to read essays a lot. So I'm excited for this space in particular. And I want to say thank you to Dorley and Lisa for sharing the space as well. I'm going to read some poems that are new for the first half, and the second half I'll read books that are from the forthcoming. Sorry, poem from the forthcoming book. This one's called Ovid. My partner leaves town for a month and all the plants die. I'd interpret this as ominous if I hadn't stopped trying to find extra meaning where there isn't any. If I hadn't learned there's a difference between things happen and everything dies. Once again, I find myself wearing ill-fitting underwear, and lately objects around me are all sloughing off. A roll of paper spills out from my grasp and into the toilet. A stranger clips the side mirror from my car when it is parked. I chew off a hangnail, and days later, infected, is stale and yellow as the morning sun. Just now, I awoke from a dream where there was already a sequel of the last movie I watched before falling asleep. In the dream, a girl turned into a flower, submerged at the bottom of a campus lake. When angry, she would surface and unfurl, scream how she and the world were always at odds to any lake dweller who neared her. In the dream, I bleached my hair and lost my curl pattern. In the dream, my sister and I were in school at the same time. She was much more popular than I was, but we still remained friends. It all made more sense in my head. It all felt full of meaning just until I opened my eyes. If I wrote all my poems in the morning, they'd be strange and expanding. If I made all my decisions in the morning, they'd be bursting bladder in a good way. Loose bottoms, flailing leaves, meaning dictated by immediacy and nothing more. This is called Rewind, after Zan Phillips' poem, Film Theory. When two men kissed, there used to be danger. On television, where there once was danger, there is now vibrant color. Color bursts and vibrates on screen, even if no one is there to see it. Have you ever seen something that buzzes inside you? I am watching two kids encounter each other with pure admiration. Television shows me alternate tasks in Technicolor. A show I adore made me feel like we were living a warm, pleasant future. Two high school boys go on a date and their parents know. A boy I adore takes me back to my adolescent past. Glimpses of the past will make you imagine safety where there isn't any. Tense is a lie. What is your present is someone else's future. A me I love's past, it disappeared, so I fill it with my guts. Most days I can distinguish between my own experience and the characters. Some days my own adolescence feels as if it were extinguished. Still a memory, I've savored ends and I feel as if I am breaking up. I am watching two boys kiss on screen, and for once there is no secondhand shame. This is called Trace. It was written here in Pittsburgh. It's about Trace Brewery in Pittsburgh. The boy I have a crush on is dancing on someone else at an outdoor bar that somehow brought all the Black queers out in this small city. The boy I have a crush on is not all that interested in being a boy today, wearing Black stockings, a Black pleated skirt, tan flesh peeking through. I watch him. I try not to watch him. I try not to watch them. I might turn red when embarrassed, when I have a crush on someone whom others think I look like. Just the other week, a woman mistook this crush for me at a work event. A white-haired stranger handing over a check intended for someone similar, but mostly different. The last time I let a crush like this survive was in college. A boy who sometimes got called my own name and I sometimes his. I hated this doppelganger, even worse, the coincidental attraction, but loved how, in a darkened hallway, away from the party, I traced his insides. I remember most the shine of his slick molars, his back roaring up against the worn painted wall. The boy I have a crush on will never know. He is one boy among many, and I one boy among many others, lying under this shining sun. I imagine the pair leaving together, retreating to warm painted rooms, one tracing the other beautifully. Later they will leave, and perhaps they do. This poem is called Inside. It's after this series called Shining Girl. It's on the Apple TV, if you remember watching it. He left it inside of me, a fictional survivor tells a reporter. He left it inside of me, it's mine, but she can't take it home. It's a physical object in her abdomen, a damp matchbook placed in her person, gutted and left snuffed on a gritty beach. Objects and cavities, a metaphor for trauma sticking behind, a metaphor for evidence being out of reach when you need it most. A man doesn't just take, he leaves his trash inside you. Or a man doesn't just take, he changes your universe. Or disruption is time travel and I'm just trying to reach a stable plane. Did I mention the man can travel across decades, bring you an object alien to your world? Cruelty will leave you splayed and stratified. Cruelty will leave you without the matchsticks. My life is not adapted from fiction. It is my real small life. But as in the fiction, he does things to me, but also to her and her and her. They have names. We talk around it in circles. I am not the only one connected. We are all tangled in quantum string. We grew up together. He travels across time. Still, it can feel so quiet a violence. A boy who's supposed to be a friend doesn't stop when I ask him to. Still, it goes on for years. Different patterns and the same vile ends. This was my body, like that was her body. I could reach inside and pull it right out. Okay, and the last one for the batch of new poems is called Piano. This is the newest, the most rough. It's not finished yet, but feels like a good space to read then. To Dad's chagrin, Mom paints everything in the house white. White vases, white picture frames, even the piano. It's brown wood inherited from a neighborhood school, now lacquered in white. It begins small, but one addition to theme begets another. White countertops become white deck stain, become white stepping stones, interior moving exterior. Middle America, Mom with brushwork and time on her hands. I will never own a house, and this house is not my own. But each holiday return, I wince at its spreading. More buckets appearing from the depths of the garage when the house looked just fine before. White grass, even. A dropped can seeping into the soil, stain expanding in the yard. From it, I imagine a future. White bushes, 88 white keys, the entire house shifting and snowy. Everyone in hanging photos morphing white. Mom is white too. And this isn't the first time she's gone wild with color. It was gold once before, and before that, blue. I, her secondborn, came months early, miniature and unready to breathe. She doesn't like to talk about it. She asked the doctors why I was such a color. Then repurposed the pain, a childhood room painted blue to match. A reminder, if you face something each morning, its sharpness might dull. Mom gave birth to her firstborn alone in a hospital. And sometimes she sees X in the grocery store. And years later, her father wouldn't let Dad inside the house. No one came to see her. She carries these pains with her. She could fill her pain into pills. I do not care for the color, but Mom has loved hard and good her whole life. Dad and I forgive it. It's just a color. It's got nothing to do with us. Today, through the window, I watch her touch up a bench in the backyard, black foam brush in hand, tipped in white. She inspects her work, upkeeping a home we are all comfortable in. She's a beautiful being, a beautiful mother. Dad milling at her side, I watch her lather fresh coats through the window. How long might you be full of pain, resigning to clean slates and empty vessels? Or is it a daily consideration? Painting everything the color you're confronting most. Okay, last one from, I was wrong. Last one from the first batch. I wrote this at Cali Conum this past summer. I finally got to know Cali Conum. It's very, very great. This is written for my friends, Josh Bacon, and he was there with me. It's called Scuttle. Something strange in the air, texture thick, heady tempest brewing, The body leads you out a door into more livable atmosphere. And Black folk know more than anyone how you gotta listen to your gut, listen to where the body is pulling, spin out of scheduled orbits. So we flee, me, a friend from years ago, and a new friend I'd made in the hours before, floating briefly, already in refuge, so brilliant in my burn. A new little trio, all pairs of walking legs. Sometimes you need a coffee, a reason to sit somewhere else, or alone time, or time to be alone, next to another, being alone, still getting to know one another in all sorts of spans. Not left lonely, but absorbing from others, silent feeling transmission, mirror neurons worked in one. Punctuality isn't always a requirement. Missing something scheduled isn't the worst thing that will happen. We must remind ourselves of this. Sometimes people burst into quiet stars in front of you, ascend toward the heavens. We'll miss it if we're not there to look, finding them only after shaking stardust off their sleeves. A friend can showcase galaxies when they're new to us, or newish, or new in this new context. There are bigger things, there are smaller things. We can be a little late, and life will still go on. The sky will shift an odd color, then back to beauty again. The spider in your room will scuttle across the floor. They won't harm you. Okay. So the next couple poems are from my forthcoming book, Bad Forecast. There's a tornado in my hometown in 2011, and one of my friends was killed, and the tornado was very destructive, so a lot of this manuscript is about that. It's a mix of lyric essay and poems. I'm just gonna read some poems from it. This has an epigraph from Gerald W. Barracks, who wrote, "Half the flood was tears." Adjacencies. A friend loses someone in a, and I strike collision from my vocabulary. Another loses family in a, and I am wary, or is it weary, of writing water and its adjacent innocuous horrors. I lose someone no one knew I cared for deeply, and you wouldn't believe how often someone jokes about the getting swept up in the air, overcome by waves, sideswiped by a car, or is it sideswiped by air, swept up by waves, overcome in a car. There's an overturning, always sudden gymnastics involved at some end. I am ever cautious and I am ever tired, the punchline being, even after erasure remains a faint blur. I aim to be planted, not unfurled. I want to be grounded, not exposed. I wish language to write us. I need words to keep us, indolent and unready to lift off from earth. Abed. Comes to me indelible, in pieces, flittered wisps. Comes to in circles and shucked cornhusk litters. Orbital. Comes only in clouds, mercent and lavender, wrought with stitches. From up below, a new space testament in dream of dirt, stretched beyond a surface, underneath cracked mirror, earth and warm. As months decay, or decades, I grow old, watching today, treading roses. This is called Slumber Party. There's a shotgun in the piano room. It is bound to go off, to play with a gun. This little one didn't think it was loaded when they aimed. It's too difficult to think about in the head at a sleepover. A child doesn't die right away. It flies to a city an hour from home. No one, same as the sky, will be tried for murder. Mom says to be safe in summer, but also don't sleep so much. I don't want to be dead most of the time. And when I do, there's the news, always reminding. Tornadoes and Trayvon. I wish we had a basement, but I'm glad mom doesn't keep a gun. I don't trust myself, and the Zimmermans always find a way. When little, I wondered if God ever got tired. He must be asleep. Then I'll just read two more. This is called Seasonal. How we think it is over and odd, how fungus grows and infects people already hurt, how even after a tornado, it is spores that will kill a few more, how I know a boy who dies because of wind, how I knew a boy who died because of wind, how we call it nature and God and quiet in the end, how an aunt stays with us indefinitely after losing her home, how I must babysit a cousin I have never met before, how I'm happy to do it, how I do not know her, but we are both alive, how the government gives us too many toothbrushes, how she likes sandals and sunflowers and cries when she hears sirens, how she is also averse to peanut butter, how I pray when I hear loud clouds, how our stomachs churn all summer, how the odor in the air won't leave, how we fear more storms will strike another day, how we want to be anywhere but here, how loss can feel at once all surrounding yet make-believe, how there is not enough room for grief or bodies in the town, how they must lay all the corpses by the football field, how I hear stories of an aunt who lost her head, how we took shelter in the bathroom with the cat, how they called it hiding from the atmosphere, how she kept making strange noises, how she kept trying to escape from safety, how I thought of how I never had a boyfriend, how even in the small space we are arguing, how I fear my parents will end in divorce under blue, indifferent to keep us here, how we mustn't stay outside for too long after, how a church predicted the world will end just before, how a doomsday billboard illuminated the sky of impending rapture, how I asked a friend, do you think it's true? How it's not what we deserve, how here we often speak in retribution, how I get drunk with friends one night, then people fly in the air. And this last poem is called Unearthed. I preserve you, but come home to find a child digging you up, crumbs of us strewn in the carpet. The wind left little, but the rest I filled in the space of a volume. Here is your handwriting, a message, come home, the shame in a jar. After all I uttered was, I want to tell you something. A pool of water, then the pond. I put you back and think of warmer things. Thank you.